purpose to preach in this series, and this series entitled Beyond Blessed. How many of you are blessed? Let me see your hand tonight. I want to tell you, you're beyond blessed. Amen? And we're talking about Bible benedictions. Now, again, for those of you who maybe have not heard any of these messages, benediction, the word benediction, comes from two Latin words, bene, which means well or to benefit, and dicere, which means to decree or speak. So a benediction is a spoken blessing, and it's often placed, and the reason we call it the benediction is it's often placed at the end or the conclusion of one of the letters of the New Testament or one of the sections of the Bible. And so many churches, and part of their worship service is at the end of the service, they use one of these Bible benedictions, and I've heard them all through the years. And so I just got curious about them, and there are many more than eight, but we are looking at eight in this series. But I may do part two next year or something, and you find eight more, because they're all over the world. Don't you just love the Word of God? Amen. And just by a rundown, we talked about the benediction of favor. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, the Lord, the priest would speak the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Amen. And highly favored of God. I jumped over in the New Testament. There's a bunch in the Old Testament, but I wanted to highlight the end of the book of Romans, the benediction of hope, Romans 15 and 13. Now may the God, or now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The benediction of hope. And then in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, that's the benediction of the Trinity. We talked about the Trinity that night. The grace, and by the way, if you ever have questions about the Trinity, or somebody says they don't believe in the Trinity, or you really don't have a grasp on the Trinity or understand it, if you'll find this message, we talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Then we talked about in Galatians 6 and 18, and I'm not sure if he was able to follow me on the overhead or not. Just give me a thumbs up if you are, and that's great. Galatians 6 and 18 says, the grace of our Lord be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. And we talked about the benediction of grace. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, we talked about the benediction of peace. After he talks about putting on the whole armor of God and the warfare that we have, he leaves them with this thought, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last one, which was about First Thessalonians 5 and 23 is the benediction of integrity. Integrity means being whole. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, wholly, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, who surely will do it. Now, would you stand with me tonight? And I want you to receive tonight's benediction. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. I want you to receive the benediction tonight. The benediction of empowerment. Of empowerment. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. It says, raise your hands as you do this. You're receiving a blessing. Now the God, read it out loud with me. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, tonight, bless for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen and amen. Turn around and tell somebody that you are blessed and highly favored, and you may be seated tonight. The benediction of empowerment. Please understand that this is at the conclusion of the book or the letter to the Hebrew Christians. And if you'll go through and read the book of Hebrews, or the letter of, we call it a book, but it was really a letter, a text message, if you will, a very lengthy one. And the writer of Hebrews, who we most certainly, most theologians believe it's the Apostle Paul, but the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish believers who had been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but who were being pulled back by their relatives and their families to go back to the Old Testament law and the Old Testament practices, that the writer of Hebrews writes this letter to explain you don't need to go back to the Old Testament ceremonies and laws and customs, all of those that were there, because Jesus fulfilled those, and we have the reality of what they stood for. And so that is the purpose of the book of Hebrews. And I don't have time to give you all the details, but he does go over the types and the symbols and the expressions of the Old Testament and shows that how Jesus was the fulfillment of them. For example, we don't need animal sacrifices today. And aren't you glad of that? Say amen. Because if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13, it says, and I'm reading from a different translation, but Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13 says, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Verse 14, Hebrews 9 and 14, just think how much more the blood of Jesus Christ will purify your consciences from sinful deeds. We had those Old Testament bulls and goats and rams and oxen, and they were slain, and their blood ran. But it was not the blood of bulls and goats that ever cured sin or forgave sin. It was what it stood for. It was what it was pointing to. And now that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, shed his blood on that Calvary, cross of Calvary and that crimson flow, you don't need to go back and slay mama's cow anymore. You don't need to go back and slay a lamb anymore. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and I am free because of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter than snow. Somebody ought to give him praise for the Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, and we have the blood of Jesus. Say amen tonight. And so now he concludes his letter to the Hebrews by saying, now that you know this, number one, don't go back to it. Number two, you go out. You spread the good news. And now will you, Hebrews, receive the benediction? Go back to Hebrews 13 and 20. Now. Somebody say, what now? I could preach a whole sermon on that word now. God is the God of N-O-W. Well, I know what he did in the 70s and 80s, and I know what he's going to do in the millennial reign. But brother and sister, I believe God is doing something now in my life and now in this church and now in this generation. I'm so excited that now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now here it is, verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You are not just saved to sit. You are, as Henrietta Mears said in a great book, what the Bible is all about. You are saved to serve. We're not saved to just coast our way in and our sins are forgiven and oh, good for me. We've got a story to tell. We've got a work to do. We've got to roll up our sleeves, put our hand on the plow and not look back, for if you do, you're not fit for the kingdom. Kingdom of God. God wants you to work through you and work in you. And how many of you want to do a work for God and with God in these last days? Now may that God equip you and empower you to everything that is well pleasing in his sight, and give the devil a black eye, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We are the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. We are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in his blood, and we are going forth. Somebody give him praise for the work of the Lord. I feel a preach in the house tonight. Oh, aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. The key word is equipped. Now, I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. It says this, may he equip you. The King James version says, make you perfect in every good work. Now, we understand that in 1611, the word perfect doesn't mean what the word perfect means today. In 1611, the word perfect did not mean what we think it is today. When we think of something being perfect, we think of something being perfect, spotless, you know, no problem. Like, my wife is perfect, amen, or my husband is perfect, you know, and we know that we're just, now y'all with me tonight? But we know nobody is what? But here's what a better translation is. And the New Living Translation says, may he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. Amen. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. The key word is equipped. We need equipped Christians. We need equipped pastors. We need equipped churches. We have a world to save. We have a world to rescue. We have an impact that we need to make. And may I remind you that the devil's crowd is not sitting at home tonight just watching football. I promise you many of them are, but there are many of the world's crowd out there trying to figure out how to block a Supreme Court justice while we're sleeping and not praying. And they want to make sure whatever happens that we keep abortion legal. I was talking to a young man yesterday, he's not a Christian. In fact, he's attended our church for Easter. He doesn't go to church, but he came Easter here, and we got to talking about the Supreme Court and abortion, and I informed him that an abortion can take place up to 9 months. He said, I didn't know that. I thought it was just only a few weeks after. I said, that's why they don't want you to believe that. It's called partial birth abortion. And there is some politicians that I could call their name that they live and die to make sure that at 9 months of age, 9 months in the womb, a baby can be killed and aborted. I don't care what party you're in. That's an abomination. That is murder. And woe be unto us that vote those people in. If you ain't got enough spiritual discernment to step in that voting booth, and if you press a button for that crowd that kills babies, you will answer to God for it. And don't get mad at me, but it ain't got nothing to do with Trump or Republicans or any other party. I'm all done. Y'all say amen. Pray for me. Amen. But I don't care. I don't care, because I'm tired of seeing the devil's crowd equipped and using the latest movies and the latest technologies and getting all the church is lagging behind, and we're half in and half out. My God, receive the benediction. It's time to lead the way and say, we are the church of God. We've got something to give. We've got an answer to the teenage pregnancy. We got an answer to suicide. We got an answer to the problems. We are equipped. We're blessed and highly favored of God. Now, can you imagine Drusa, who we receive an offering for? What if we had that truck by Bill W.A. Mills, our men's director, and we sent that truck, and we gave an offering, and they drove down there to New Bern in Jacksonville, and they parked it, and they were supposed to feed people. But when everybody got there, and they opened the doors to the truck, can you imagine what it would look like if there weren't nothing in that truck? Well, you can't feed them if you don't have some equipment. Are you hearing me tonight? What if we have to call 911 and the ambulance comes and pulls up, and out comes two men or two ladies or a man and a lady, and they say, what's the problem? And they say, well, brother so-and-so is having a heart attack. And the two people we call look at each other and they're like, well, I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, that's not a very good feeling. They're supposed to be equipped. They're supposed to jump into action. What about, I thought I'd throw this in there. What about if you need to buy a 4K TV and you walk up to the salesman at Best Buy and you say, I want a 4K TV. And that salesman looks at you and says, huh? I don't know what that is. Let me tell you something. If they take time to train and equip a salesperson at Best Buy, friend, you need to be trained and equipped on how to lead somebody to Jesus. Because how many of you know leading somebody to Jesus, even rescuing somebody from a heart attack, nothing is more important than saving a lost soul. You ought to tell people and be equipped. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3, it says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready. Shout that with me. And be ready when always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need the benediction of empowerment. God wants to work in us and through us. It's not always in a pulpit or on a sound system. It is out in our world, and we can and shall and must and will make a difference. How many of you want to make a difference? Will you receive the benediction? Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight for the benediction of empowerment. The sons of Issachar, They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. There was a group of people. Man, they knew. They had the answer. They could cut through the maze and the fog. There's ever a time we need to boldly declare, this is the way, walk you therein. It is now. If there's ever a time we need the benediction of empowerment. Now you say, how does God empower us? How does God equip us? I want to answer that three things in this benediction. He equips us or empowers us, point one, by His peace. We are empowered by God's peace. Look again at Hebrews 13 and 20. Now may the God of peace. Say that with me. The God of peace. You see, he is talking about the God of peace. We know Him as Jehovah Shalom. And I didn't have time to go back to the book of Judges where we find the name Jehovah Shalom for the first time when they were facing that army and it just seemed like nothing was going to go right. And God said, hey, don't you worry about the size of the army. As long as you've got the size of your God in mind, you'll have peace that passes all understanding. They that be for us are greater than they that be against us. And 30,000 can be taken down by 300 and we can be empowered by the peace of God. Knowing that beyond the shadow of that, I'm at peace. I may be in a war. How can you be in a war and also be at peace at the same time? Because you know you're going to win it. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Now you might have to take a few hits. You might. I love the pastor talking about this morning. I belted him. I felt that, didn't you? You know what? The Lord was training you to belt that devil. Amen. Praise God. Next thing I know, the man was pointing the gun at the pastor. Next thing I know, the pastor had the gun in his belt. That's called a peace. That, Pat, you've been trained. You've been empowered by the United States Marines. You had to fight that old fella. You had to put up a little bit of a fight. But when it was thus settled, you got peace that I'm in the world's greatest army. I'm not talking about the Marines now, even though they're the greatest, I believe. I love you, Army folks and Air Force, but they're the greatest. But the greatest of all is the army of the Lord. Amen. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? People are afraid. My nerves are shot. Really? Well, now you need to receive the benediction. The God of peace. The God of peace. Amen. Now, if you'll notice in the other benedictions, peace is mentioned already. If you go back to the benediction of hope, in Romans 15 and 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Then if you go back to the benediction of peace, we had talked about the peace be to the brothers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, peace to the brethren and those in love with faith from God the Father, the Lord, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that in these benedictions, there is a pronouncement of peace. And if we are going to be equipped, we must have and be empowered by the God of peace or the peace of God. Somebody say amen tonight. Men are constantly searching for peace. They search for peace among the nations. Over the centuries, there have been numerous peace treaties. Sadly, most of them have been broken. I discovered that in Costa Rica, there is a university of peace. Think of that. A university by the name of peace. Instead of Barton College or Wesleyan or East Carolina University, this is Peace University. Why? Because people want peace. But we know that there will never be real and lasting peace until the Prince of Peace comes again in this world. But I want you to know in your world, there can and shall be peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of disappointments. Peace when things don't go the way that you think they ought to go. Peace when you've got a bad report. Because you can get a bad report, but the scripture says, and Sister Julia Page mentioned it, who they've just gone through a lot of stuff that could trouble people, but they have maintained the peace. We shall believe the report of the Lord. So take that bad report, and really you have a good report from the Lord. Say amen. I heard about this soldier in Guam. They found him in a cave. And he had been hiding in the cave because it was World War II. And he knew there was a battle, and Guam had been one of the areas of battle. And so he found a cave, and he was hiding in the cave. But the problem was the peace treaty had already been signed by General MacArthur many, many months before. But he hadn't got the news. So in his mind, the war is still on. And so he's doing what he feels like he has to do, retreat in the cave to keep his safety. And I believe that's the way a lot of Christians and a lot of churches are. We're still acting as if God hasn't won the war. Listen, there is a war, but we are fighting the war because we've already won the war, because the peace has... We need to get out of the cave. We need to get out of our comfort zone, what a lot of preachers say, and I agree with that. We need to get out of the hiding and the devil scaring us. And we need to get out into the highways, into the byways, out into the market and the places. We need to invite people and love people. Because let me tell you, Jesus Christ won the war 2,000 years ago. And there's been the greatest peace treaty ever. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection proves that we are walking in the peace of God with God through Jesus Christ. Now let's get out of the cave and let's tell it and let's shout it and let's be equipped and let's do something for the Lord. There's one scripture, I didn't have time to put it together here, the peace of God that passes all hearts and that passes all understanding. The book of Philippians, that word peace will guard your hearts. It's like a military garrison, if you go back and study it, because and I've never understood that. I'm like, how could that stand for, you know, a military garrison when we're talking about peace? Because I want to tell you something. There's peace. You know, when President Trump walks out of his car and begins to shake hand, you don't see him, wonder if somebody going to shoot me. Wonder, I don't know, I better not get out of the car. You know why he ain't worried about it? Because he's got about 15 Secret Service agents. Looking over here, radio in here, looking there. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear him. Now we should use wisdom, and we don't need to tempt the Lord our God. But I'm here to tell you, we have the peace of God, and we can get out of the cave. Can you say amen? We are empowered by God's peace. So be at peace. Receive the peace. Receive the benediction. Don't let things trouble you. Don't let things mess up your equilibrium. Don't let the devil scare you back into the cave and say, well, I'm just not going to teach anymore or try to witness anymore. No, there's a word for that. It's called being a coward. And we don't need to be a coward in these last days. We need to be men and women of God, equipped and appointed and anointed by God. I tell you, when you get full of God and full of His Spirit, as one preacher said, you can charge hell with a water pistol, because you have the peace of God, that you are an overcomer and that His Word is true, and the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ has equipped you and empowered you. Somebody say amen. Number two, not only are we empowered by God's peace, number two, we are empowered by God's plan. By God's plan. Turn around and tell somebody, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan. And I'll tell you, if we follow God's plan, we'll be equipped. And when we follow our plan, we might be like the EMS showing up and not really having nothing to do. Amen? We got to follow the plan. What does it mean here? Notice here that it talks about, go back to verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Did you catch that? That shepherd of the sheep. Amen. The shepherd. This tells me that I'm part of His sheep. And He is my... And what do shepherds do to sheep? They... That's good, but they... Lead them, that's right, and guide them. In other words, the shepherd has a plan for his sheep. He has thought out their future. He has thought out where the enemy is. He has a plan, and that empowers me to know that if I will follow the shepherd, if I will follow his leading. And by the way, he loves me enough to lead me. Amen. You see, God will take you as you are, but he won't leave you where you are or leave you as you are. He is always taking us on a journey. We are on a journey. We are pilgrims and strangers, and he is leading us. Look back over your life, and you can see where God had led you. I know he led me to East Carolina. I know he led me to different places. I know he led me here. I know he's leading me, and I want to stay close. And that lets me know he's got a plan. Amen. Now, you got to follow the shepherd. Amen. You know where you lose your equipment and your empowerment is when you don't follow his plan. Amen? Well, how do I know his plan? Read the book. The shepherd's giving you some food. And it's hot off the fresh. Hot off the press. Well, that's like a book. That is a book, right? Hot off the press. But it's his plan. This is God's plan. First of all, there's his general plan. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to struggle about it. You're not to have relations outside of marriage. You don't need to pray about it. Well, I feel led to do it. I feel like it's okay to do it. No. That's the problem. You feel. The word has already said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Somebody say amen. Amen. God has a wonderful plan for you. It's called marriage. Dating. And when you date, you don't go all the way and get all involved physically and on the third date, on the second date, on the first date. I'm preaching stuff here that people need to preach often. Amen. And we do. Pastor hit on it this morning. You see, you send flowers and you go out to a meal and you watch a nice movie and you begin to conversate and find common ground and you take time to get to know the person. And then you pray and say, God, is this the right person? And down the road, he'll be confirm it. And people who love you will see things that you don't see. And they'll say things like, oh, you know what? I tell you what, I can really see the Lord working his life. Or, oh, you know what? You better stay away from that girl. She's trouble. I remember when I was dating a young lady one time, my pastor, T.L. Byrd, he told me, he said, Brother Ricky, he said, I'm telling you, this is not good. Just stay away from it. And I'll forever thank him and bless him when I heard several years later she had gone through three marriages. Oh, let me tell you, God's got a plan. Amen? Amen. Now, when Darnell came around, he told me this. Hang on to her. She'll make a great wife. She'll make a great pastor's wife. And at that time, I wasn't so convinced. But time has proven that both God and Brother Byrd were right. Amen? And I'm not trying to say that to highlight my marriage or my wife. I'm just telling you, he's got a plan. And follow his plan. Do what the word says. If he says to forgive when people hurt you, my goodness, it's not easy. Forgive, because the plan of God is for us to be in harmony and unity. The trick of the devil is to get listen, whatever he says to do, like in the turning of the water into wine, do it for heaven's sakes. His mother got it right. Hallelujah. He's the shepherd, and he wants to empower you with his plan. Say these words with me. Say it. Not my will, but thine be done. And I promise you, you stay on that path, and God will do amazing and awesome things. And it may not always be fun, and he may lead you through some storms and through some trials to test you and grow you. But he is the shepherd. And I read in that old 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall never be in lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I said he restores. Oh, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup, what? Surely what, Pastor? Goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a table. There's an anointing. There's the Lord, not a Lord, but the Lord, the personal God of glory. He is watching over me, leading me, and planning for me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. My goodness, that empowers me to do his will. I am empowered by his plan. Somebody say amen. I was asking the Lord to show me where He wanted me to be, either Church of God or Pentecostal Holiness. I went with Steve Emerson as a 17, 15, 16-year-old boy. My great-grandmother was one of his spiritual mentors, and she loved him like a son. I loved him like a brother, and God had His hand on his life. And I'm telling you, every single week he was preaching at a Pentecostal Holiness church. Doors open. He was anointed. Still is. Greatly anointed. And I would sit in the back seat of the car and ride to this revival, that revival, that revival, that revival. And I had no idea that God was preparing my future in the back seat of that car. And I was meeting pastors, and I went to Falcon, and I met Shiloh, and T. Long was the pastor there the first time in 1987. I live across the street from Shiloh now. And when I got to be 20 years old, 19 years old, my other side of the family's Church of God, my grandmother, we'd go to North Rocky Mount, and my uncle was a state overseer for the Church of God at one time, and an evangelism director, one of the most powerful preachers, my uncle, who's retired now. And I said, "Oh God, where do you want me to go? Because I really like the Church of God." I did. Man, Church of God is awesome. Somebody say amen. That's a great denomination. They are anointed. Man, they had music. Their churches, brother. And I just thought, well, you know what? I think I'll join the Church of God. But I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me in 1991 at East Carolina University in Acock Residence Hall. It's still standing. And I heard the Lord say, "You'll get a phone call from a pastor with an offer. You're to take that offer." I heard it. I stopped praying. And felt good. And I went to a prayer meeting that night, or a revival meeting, to a little church outside of Bethel. And I sat on the front row. And the evangelist didn't know me, and I didn't know the evangelist. And he was preaching away, and he stopped. He looked at me, and he said, "Stand up, young man." I stood up. He said, "I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, there will come a time in your ministry you'll be booked up 6 months in advance." And he told me, "The hand of God is on your life. You're called to preach." I'm going to tell you, that's one of the greatest days I'll never forget. But let me tell you something. That phone call didn't come the next day. I thought surely it would come the next day. And I thought surely it would come by the weekend. I stayed by that phone. This is before cell phones, guys. This is when you had one phone and it was plugged to a wall. And if you got out of your room away from earshot, you didn't hear it. But we did have answering machines, not voicemail. These were machines with cassette tapes in them that you went and you played your messages. And I would come in and the light would be flashing and I'd be like, "Oh, praise God, who's the pastor calling me?" And it wasn't. A week went by. 2 weeks. Then I thought, okay, camp meeting's coming up. June at Kinley Church of God camp meeting. So I went just about it. Ray Hughes preached that year. And I said, "Praise God, one of these pastors are going to call." I was giving out my card. He said, "Call me, pastor. Call me, pastor." I was trying to help out, you know. No phone call. And then it gets into the middle of the summer. And then it gets to August. Then it gets to September. And I remember Curtis Hayslip said, "Son, if you'll come, I'll help." He didn't call me. He just told me at church. He said, "I'll help you in your ministry." And the Greenville Church of God, and I love that church, still do. It's a great church. And they were on fire, and they had a Hammond organ. And sometimes I would play. And I told Brother Hayslip, and this is what I thought. I said, "Well, evidently, I'm not going to get no phone call. Evidently, I just thought it was not the Lord." So on a Wednesday night, Curtis Hayslip stood up and said, "Ricky Nelms is going to join the Church of God tonight." And I walked down the aisle and I joined the church, but I had a little uneasy feeling. And would you believe, 2 days later, my phone rang. Are y'all with me here tonight? "Hello, this is T.L. Bird." Glory to God. This is a good story, whether y'all like it or not. I love it. What had happened was I had gone to St. Paul Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thad White called me, said, "Ricky, we need somebody to play the piano on Monday night. Our pianist won't be here. Will you fill in for our piano player?" And I knew Thad White, and Steve had preached for him. at another church, and I said, sure, Brother White. So I played piano. I had no idea, Pastor Jerry, I had no idea sitting in the back was a man by the name of J. Floyd Williams. Now, that name may not mean anything to you, but he used to be our general superintendent. Well, J. Floyd Williams called T.L. Byrd. He said, Brother Byrd, why don't you call a man by the name of Ricky Nelms? He played a piano for us that night. And I know you need a piano player. And Brother Byrd called me and said, will you come and will you help me? And I need a piano player. And I don't just need a piano player. I want to train you. I 50 years of pastoral ministry. I want to give you everything I've got. And my wife will love on you. And I'm like, oh my God. I said, Brother Byrd, I would love to do that, but I just joined the Church of God Wednesday night. I'm sorry I can't do it. He said, come on, let's meet anyway. And we went to K&W, and I met this silver-haired man. We went over to the church. He said, here's the church. You tell me what piano you want, we'll get it for you. And I knew this was God. And he looked at me and said, Ricky, it's your decision. I know you joined the church Wednesday night, but I can talk to Brother Haslip. You're a young man, but I'll be glad to help you. It's your decision. And I said right there, I said, Brother Byrd, I'll be with you. And he took me by the hand, and he said, I covenant with you. Covenant. And for 17 years, he was my spiritual mentor. And I'm just here to tell you, God has a plan. He will lead you. And don't think anything's too small. And don't think anything's too big. My Heavenly Father has something in mind for your life. Don't you abort it. Don't you get mad. Don't you get tempted and let somebody talk you out of it. I'm here to tell you the Lord loves you. He numbers the hair on your head. He bottles your tears when you cry. He knows your frame and he knows your name. Lift your hand tonight and thank him for his awesome, awesome plan that can empower us and put us where we're supposed to be for the seasons and for the reasons. And if you believe it, give him another hand of praise here tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. And then number three, we're empowered by his plan. Say amen. We're empowered, amen, but not only by his plan, but we're empowered by his peace. Say amen. And finally tonight, we're empowered by his provision. Look back at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. And let me give me a thumbs up if you got it. And I'm about to come to a close. Now may the God of peace, I'm going to read it from the overhead. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Somebody say, that's me. Turn around and say, that's you. Through the what? Blood. Through the blood. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, I'm empowered by God's peace. I'm empowered by God's plan, but I'm empowered by his provision. And it's interesting that he talks about the blood. Remember, the book of Hebrews was about these Jews trying to go back and kill some poor little lamb again. They were trying to get an ox out in the farm and say, we're going to cut his throat. You know, he has we have to shed his blood. And they're like, no, we have his blood. Now, what do you mean by that? That's provision. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were naked and they were ashamed. The Bible says that God slew animals, took the skin of those animals and covered them. Those animals shed their blood. And my friend, if an animal's blood can provide for Adam and Eve, how much more can the Son of God's blood cover me? And provide for me and clothe me with the robe of righteousness. If he's, listen, the point is this. I got to hurry up. If he's provided the blood for your salvation, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to help you pay your light bill. And he's going to make sure your tires get rotated. He's going to take care of the neighbor across the street. This the dog barking at the middle of the night. He's going to take care if you don't get your way in a certain thing that you really want to get your way on. He's going to take care of you if your husband walks out on you. He's going to take care of you. if the doctor says you've got 6 months to live, or for some x-ray, let me tell you something. He has provided whatever we need through the blood of His covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God. If you need finances, He's already provided the finances. Give them to the Lord and trust in Him. He has provided. Somebody say amen. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to wrap this up here. The blood. It says 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath what? Given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Did you just read what I read? It says that His divine power hath given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank God for His provision. Thank God for His blood. Napoleon was that great conqueror of Europe, and the only thing that stood in his way was looking at a map, and he had a red dot over England and London, where he wanted to one day defeat England. And he looked at the dot, and he had gone all the way to Moscow. His troops had marched all across Europe. He was a conqueror. But one force stood in his way, and it was England. It was England. Of course, the Battle of Waterloo, where Napoleon was stopped. And Napoleon told his generals, when they looked at the map and that little red dot on that map, and he said, "Men, but for that one red dot, I could conquer the world." And sometimes I think the devil feels the same way. If it weren't for that red dot of that blood of Jesus, he could have all of us. Oh, thank God for the blood. Thank God for His provision. Thank God for His empowerment. Thank God for His equipping us. Would you stand with me tonight, Brother Sister Wilson, if you'll come, and let's begin to close the service tonight. Oh, will you receive the benediction tonight? Will you receive the benediction, the benediction of empowerment? I close with this tonight, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. But I read this many years ago, heard this about Dr. A.J. Gordon, who was a great preacher. And he visited the World's Fair in Chicago. And as he came into the World's Fair, he saw a man robed in a bright, gaudy oriental clothes. And he appeared to be laboriously turning a crank, a pump. And it was creating a mighty flow of water. He couldn't quite make it out, but he saw this man just working hard and turning the crank. And he was like, "Wonder what this man is doing." And he saw all that physical motion and that tremendous amount of water. But as he got closer and closer to the man doing the pump, he got closer and closer. He realized that the man wasn't a man after all. It was a wooden man. And instead of the man turning the crank, it was electricity that was pumping the water through. And actually, instead of the man turning the crank was actually turning the man. Are y'all with me tonight? That water gets to flowing, and that spirit gets to moving. It ain't me cranking it up. It's Him cranking me up. Amen. Receive the benediction tonight. Put it back on the screen, my brother. Read it out loud, and then we're going to pray tonight. Read it out loud with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Raise your hands, and let's read it together. Receive the benediction. Come on. Ready? Now, read it out loud. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, can I say this? One last that just came to me. Sometimes you're working too hard. You're like the man. You're trying to pump that water. You're trying to make things happen. You need to let God make things happen. You've got power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to let God equip you tonight with every good work. I want you to ask God, God, show me your plan. Let me know what I can do to stay out of the cave of fear. Come on, step on out while I'm talking here tonight. Find a place in this altar and say, Lord, help me to receive the benediction of empowerment. Empower me to spread the gospel. Empower me and equip me. Lord, if it's to take a class, if it's to go back to school, Lord, if it's for me to take counseling, Lord, if it's for me to give up some good things in order to gain the greatest thing. Sometimes we can get too busy, but oh God, give me wisdom. Give me your favor. I receive the benediction of empowerment tonight. Come on down and lift your hands up and let the water flow tonight. Let it move you to worship. Let it move you to praise Him. He is your shepherd. He is guiding you tonight. Go ahead and sing when you're ready. Amen.
In His presence, there is peace.
Oh, receive the benediction tonight. Receive the benediction tonight. God's got a work for you to do. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. And your family's coming in, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit. Oh God, I know she's more than a conqueror. Receive the benediction, my brother. Receive that benediction tonight. Oh, we bless you tonight. We praise you tonight. In His presence, in His presence, in His presence. Be equipped, my brother. Be equipped. Be thoroughly furnished to all good works. There's a work for you to do. Hallelujah.